buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key. But the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and I'm here to help you with your car questions and your car problems. And if you have any car questions or car problems, now's the time to call in because we're wide open online. So if you give us a call right now at 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, then you'll be first on our list. My co-pilot, my assistant, my general manager, my best buddy Kurt Rock is here with me. So he's from Kurt's Automotive up on I-17, east of I-17 at 23rd Avenue in Bell. So right across the street from Midway Chevrolet, so if you're up there in that area, then Kurt's a guy that you can talk to, and we'll answer your questions and help you out with any car questions you have. And it's all free on the house. Partially because this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry's Harker's Auto. They're a full-service family operation, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Now, if you have a good repair shop, you should stay there. A repair shop you love, stay there. But if you're looking for a good repair shop, Larry Harker's is a trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service. They really have an area that goes from Camelback South to the, to the I-17 or I-10. And then from the 101 on the east side to the I-17 on the other way around. 101 on the west side to the I-17 on the east side. They have that whole square area, and they do a great job. Gas, diesels, big, small, VWs all the way up to diesels. They do a good job. So if you're looking for a good repair shop, might I suggest that Larry Harker's Automotive at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Kurt Rock, how the heck are you?
Doing fine, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. You want to know what my week was like?
I hope it was good, but I don't think that smile says that.
Nope, it doesn't. It doesn't. Eddie, this is your worst nightmare, okay?
Uh-huh.
Your top employee, your general manager, kind of runs up to you in the shop, and he gets very close to you, and in a quiet but stern voice, he says, "We've got a big problem."
That's bad.
Yeah. And I said, "Don't mess with me." And he goes, "I'm serious. Follow me." So he takes me back to the equipment room, and the roof is caving in on the equipment room, and I know that on top of that roof is a 6,300-pound air conditioning unit, swamp cooler kind of thing. It's made out of stainless steel. It's brand new. It's only a year and a half old. And the approximate value of that is $50,000. And underneath that room is all of our oil tanks and a bunch of chemicals. And if that cooler comes through that ceiling, we're in big trouble.
You've just ruined a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh. So in 2 hours, I had Crane Rental, who's a shop or a crane company just behind us. God bless those guys. I called him and I says, "I'm in really big trouble. I can really use a big crane right now." He says, "We'll be right over."
Good.
He says, "I got a guy that's supposed to be on site here in another 2 or 3 hours. I can't have him there long." I says, "All I need him there probably for an hour." He goes, "I got a 2-hour minimum." I says, "I don't care what it costs." The guy come over. We hooked Eddie up to a strap. He drops him down. He hooks the four corners. We lift the cooler off and set it on the ground before it went. So after we peel the drywall back, and of course now our insurance company's involved and all that, there's six broken 2x8s, and one of them broke first. You can see the middle one,
yeah.
And then each, and they all broke in a knot. And I just paid the place off, and it's 20 years old. So I called the architect and I said, "What's the warranty?"
He probably told you 12-month, 12,000 mile, right?
He used bad words. Oh. he made it clear that I was out of warranty.
Oh,
and he reminded me too that the company that built our building, I think, is even out of business. So he says, "You really have no recourse." And I said, "I'm just
calling Jeff."
Yeah. I said, "But I'll tell you what." I said, it would be helpful if you would come over, because we checked with the engineering people whether this cooler was going to be okay. This is how they charge you like millions of dollars for. Okay, you ready? They know how much a square foot, if the 2x8s are on 16-inch centers.
Yeah.
They know how much. So he says, "What size is the cooler?" And I said, 10x10. He goes, 100 square feet. I said, "Yep." He goes, 6,000 pounds, 100 square feet. He says, 60 pounds per square foot. And I said, yeah. And he goes, could you have a bunch of people up there that weighed 60 pounds and put them on a square feet? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's not much weight. Go ahead. And I said, how much is that going to cost me? And he goes, oh, think of it this way. Instead of 100 people at 60 pounds, think of 33 people at 180 pounds.
That makes sense.
And I said, okay, well, I can envision 33 people on the roof, but I don't really care. I want you to tell me it's okay.
Yeah.
So, it's still okay, but now because every one of the six joists broke at the knot, and the one that broke first had a big knot in it. So now what we're going to do is, and we're going to put a stringer in between each one of them, and then put some cross pieces, and then we're going to have the roof redone. Oh, it's going to be, but I really, that was a bad day for me.
Well, just think, it isn't during the monsoon, so you didn't have a rainy afternoon.
I'm blessed by that.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. All righty, 602-508-0960. Kurt, let's go fly with Jeff. Jeff, you're up first, buddy. How can I help you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good compared to you.
Yeah.
My question is, I've got a 1978 Ford pickup with the six-cylinder, the 4.9, and it's a carbureted engine. And for probably the last 10 years, I've had this problem, and I have not been able to fix it. And I've taken it to shops, and I've, of course, done my own shade tree deal. I'll put a remanufactured carburetor on it, and it'll work fine for about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months, and then it floods out through the carburetor, you know, through the, you know, it's a multi-part carburetor, and it'll flood out that way. I'll take it back because it's under warranty. They'll give me another one. Same thing happens, and after a couple of times of this, I thought, well, obviously that's not the answer. I started rebuilding them myself. That didn't work. I took it to a shop that specializes in carburetors. They rebuilt it. That has not helped. They did tell me, though, that when they flow tested it, 5 pounds fuel pressure they put on them, and my Ford manual and the fuel pump when I tested it puts out 7, so I put a pressure
regulator
on there and dialed it down to 5, and that worked for a while, but then it happened again.
Okay.
So do you have any clue?
Well, clearly the float's sticking.
Yeah, that's what I've.
Either got a float sticking, taking on fuel, or the needle and seat not doing its thing.
And the needle seat can be contaminated. What's the fuel filter look like? I mean, it is a 78, so how about if it had a whole bunch of very fine dirt and sand in it, and that was causing the needle and seat to somehow...
No, it does. It has that rust, I mean, that rust-colored looking, I guess is that the old lead from years gone by? Or I don't know what it is, but yeah, it has always on the bottom... is this fine filter.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to filter that out.
I have 2 filters on it now. I mean, inline, but I guess not a good enough one.
Well, either that, I dial down the fuel pressure, too, because 3.5 and 4 pounds should run that fine.
The only other thing he might could do, Mark, is maybe have the tanks cleaned out, because the bottom of his tanks are probably full of sludge.
Yep. And let me ask you a question, Kurt. How many times have you taken an air hose to a fuel line and blown the sock off of it on a 78?
Is there a sock left after all these years?
And what we're talking about is at the bottom of your pickup tube in your tank, there's a sock, and it's a very fine filtered sock. And in the old days, when Kurt and I were just really young, we were young, we would go up front and disconnect the fuel line to the fuel pump, and then we'd blow backwards, and somebody would be at the back with the gas cap off, and you'd go, boom, and you'd hear this big old thump, and then the guy give you the thumbs up because you blew the sock off because it was plugged.
Oh.
I'm with Kurt. You either need to get a better fuel filter or put 2 or 3 in a row, whatever.
Okay.
Well, but here's the problem. You got rust. That red stuff is rust. It's not. It's the top of the tank rust because it hasn't been full all of its life.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it's 78. You might even be able to buy a new tank for that.
I know you can.
I can, yeah.
I just, I'd put a new tank in it. I'd blow the heck out of those fuel lines. Now, here's the question I got for you, Kurt. Does he dial up 6 pounds of pressure to keep that needle and seat clean, or does he go to 3.5?
We used to say 3 to 5 was what we used to run them at, and I would probably run 4, so that's fine.
You can play with that, because if you go to 3 and you don't run out of fuel at 70, will your Ford do 70?
Yeah. Well, the speedometer, of course, that was the years when they detuned everything, only goes up to 85.
You know. We're just teasing.
I know you are, because you like Chevy. Yeah, I listen to your show, I know.
So, if you can go up 70, 75, 80, 85 at 3 pounds, then that's all you need.
Yeah, but okay, and I did dial it back, and I would run out of gas at 4 pounds. That's right. Why I did fine. I was trying to go as low as I could, but okay.
Clean the tanks.
Okay. I think you do that. Now, do you live either real far north or real far south?
I live at 101 and the Pima Freeway at Shea and 101.
Shea, okay, yeah. All right.
Well, he said he could buy a new tank.
If can you buy a new tank?
Yeah, I know he can.
Yeah, okay,
that might be the best choice.
Okay. All right. Just pull that one out.
Well, you're our first caller. Don't we have something for him? Oh. You know what we could do? If you'll give either one of us the specs via email,
yeah,
we'll buy the tank and we'll give you our cost on it.
That's fine.
You have to give us this part number, though. So you have to figure out what size it is, and you have to call Ford and get the part number.
Okay.
We'll have it delivered to one of our shops.
All right.
Kurt's at I-17 and Bell,
All right.
I'm at Warner and the 10.
Okay.
And then you can buy it at our... All right. Oh, and I think we're going to save them 10 to 20%. Depends
10 to 20%.
On, yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You betcha. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
All righty, 602-508-0960. Well, I want to tell you something. Kurt, you know I've been writing for the Republic.
Right.
And so in the Saturday magazine, especially in the East Valley, we're talking about car repair stuff. I also have a blog on Arizona Voices. And the other day, they asked me, they say, do the shops pay you for the referral? And I said, yes, they do. And he goes, we're all about full disclosure.
Yeah.
And I says, I'm okay with that. And he says, okay, so we want you to put it on your website. I said, I'll have it done. 24 hours or less. So on my website, basically what it says is that each one of the shops in the best car repair shops has since day one paid $750 a year. $750 a year. Now, that goes to support the website, and it doesn't go to support me or my advertising. But what it does more than anything else is we become a group and we advertise together. And of course, our site is different than anybody else's site for one big reason. It says on my site, it's by me, it's my handwriting or my typing. It says, if you have a problem with a shop, then you go to the Better Business Bureau, you go through arbitration. If the shop is told to give you a refund or fix the car and the shop doesn't, three things happen. We'll either fix it, we'll either refund it, but the shop's gone. That's important. So when we come back, we're going to ask Kurt, if you have been a part of some of these others, if I'm $750 a year, I want to ask you, what are some of the other ones, either annually or monthly? And when we come back, we'll talk about that. 602-508-0960. And if you want to talk about nitrogen in the tires, I'm always good for a good argument about that. Kurt, how much nitrogen is in my hand?
Oh, it's what, about 80% of the air?
Oh, you're not supposed to know the answer to that.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Shame on you. You just blew my whole thing. Nevertheless, when we come back, we're going to talk about nitrogen in the tires, and that's important. We'll be right back right after this.
Mark Salem has a friend at Thunderbird Automotive, and so do you. His name is Tom Fletcher. If you
said this ain't good.
Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by some repair shop. It's I-17 and Bell. Let's see here.
That's Kurt's Auto Repair, Mark.
Let me push that button there. 23rd Avenue and Bell. Who's that?
That's Kurt's Auto Repair.
Are they any good?
Yeah, not only are they good, they're one of the best next to you.
No, don't say that. That's too much pressure. I can't handle that. So, Kurt, where are they at exactly?
2222 West Bell, and they work on gas and diesel, and they're a Bosch diesel service center as well.
Oh, man. So, gas, diesel, and do you work on electric carts?
Not normally.
But you can handle wheel bearings and brakes, and you can handle batteries and bad connections.
Yeah. Right.
Quads?
Yeah, once in a while.
And they're always employees.
Yeah, especially.
Exactly right. Nevertheless, Kurtz has been open since 1992, been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau, and they're on our list. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Bell, and you're east of that or west of that, makes no difference, then Kurtz Auto is a good place if you don't already have a good place. Now, I'll tell you what impresses me, and Dave, just hang on, because you're next. When we had Tom from Action Auto apply, you two guys got along so well that it was seamless. Now, normally we won't put two guys within about 2 miles of one another, but I think you guys are within 2 miles of one another. But what's really nice is that when we asked Kurtz if he had any objections to have Tom down the street, they said no. I thought that was admirable.
Well, Tom's a good guy, and we need all the good people we can get in the systems.
I look at it this way. It's just one less guy that's going to throw me under the bus and drive it back and forth on me. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Dave, you're up next, buddy. How are you today?
Not too bad.
Go.
I've got a 05 Dakota. Transmission was rebuilt about 38,000 miles ago. And at about 35, 40 miles an hour, it kind of shudders. And I can't really, I'm taking it to the shop, the transmission shop, three times. And, of course, it doesn't do it while I'm there.
Okay. I think, I bet you have overdrive on it, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking, Kurt, I'm thinking, Dave, that when it starts shuddering, the hardest thing we have to do is figure out when it's shuddering at that stupid torque converter lock point, whether it's what?
Lockup, if there's a problem with the lockup, or if we're putting it under a little bit of a load and we're actually having some misfires.
Exactly. Spark plugs, wires, or is it the torque converter?
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. When you're going, and that's probably somewhere between 45 and 55 miles an hour?
No, usually around 35 to 40.
Okay, well then you're a light-footed guy, and that could very well be. Here's what I want you to do. Get it to where it's shuddering with your right foot, and then with your left foot, I want you to push on the brake pedal only enough to shine the brake lights. I don't want to slow you down any. Does that make sense?
Do that again. You broke up there for a second.
Okay. I want you to go down the road and get it to where it's in its shutter mode. With your right foot, stay steady on the throttle, and with your left foot, I want you to push the brake pedal only enough to shine the brakes.
Okay.
That tells the computer to unlock the converter.
Okay.
And if it changes when you do that and it smooths out, then you have to have a converter problem, or you should have a converter problem.
Okay.
If it's still there, now do you have a tachometer by chance?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to go down the road at, let's say, 40 miles an hour, and let's say he's going to be at what, 12, 1300 RPM, 14, 15?
Yeah, let's say somewhere 15. In there, 15.
All right. You're at 1500 RPM, and when you hit your brake, your RPMs are going to go up to about 17, and then you're going to go ahead and back off the throttle and go back to 15. I need to know if the brake pedal changes it.
Yeah.
That's what I need to know. If the brake pedal changes it, and if the RPM range is the same, then it's a transmission problem. If the brake pedal doesn't change it, then it's an ignition wire, a vacuum leak, an EGR valve that's floating, a bad spark plug. What else could it be? Could be anything.
But the only thing that it is if it changes it and it goes out of lockup, mm-hmm. It's going to kick the RPM up 200 RPM immediately. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it's just very weak on the spark plug, we'll lose our misfire at that time too, because it can be a little difficult to diag.
And you're right. And that's one, like when you and I drive it, yeah. We know that there's a $200 RPM bump.
Right.
So we'll back off the throttle a little bit to bring it back down to 15.
Right.
Still our foot's on the brake though.
Right.
We're canceling that.
Yeah.
Now another thing you could do, I guess you could do, is put it in drive and take it out of overdrive and just drive it for a while.
But on a 95, I think he's going to get lockup in third gear.
You're right. I think you're right. Okay. Well, good luck to you, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. David, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Hi. How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Hey, I have a mid-70s Chevelle, and I just had some HVAC work on it. I had it reconverted over. Now, I did a lot of HVAC replacement parts on there. I did replace the heater control valve. Now there's a vacuum line that goes to that. Now I don't know if that is supposed to have constant vacuum or just like engine vacuum, because I don't feel no vacuum out of there. But the second question I have to that is, it seems like since I've changed that part, my air conditioner works a little bit better.
Okay. Go.
Okay, the vacuum on that heater control valve should only be vacuum when the it should be vacuum pretty much on that one. Isn't there a fail safe on that, Mark?
Well, you know what? How old were we? 10 back then. I built his car.
Yeah.
I mean that car.
Yeah.
I think when you go into maximum, you apply vacuum, which shuts the valve down.
You should, because you should have a fail-safe of no vacuum opens the valve.
Okay. And what we're talking about is it's going to be, I can tell you this much, it's going to be directly related to your air conditioning controls.
Absolutely.
No question about that. So first thing you got to do is you got to know whether vacuum opens it or closes it. and I think it's going to close it. I think you're going to find that when you go to normal and max on your air conditioning controls, I think you're going to get vacuum to it, and it's going to close the valve. Or it may be defaulted closed, or default open
and vacuum
closed.
Yeah.
So that's what has to happen. Now, I'll tell you what I did to my Chevelle. I pinched off that line, and I built myself a nice little ball valve.
Yeah.
And I put, I cut, you have a 3/8 or a 5/8 line, 5/8. A 5/8 line and a 3/4 line on the
Chevy. Yeah.
And so I took the one that comes out of it, and I went and I had to figure out which one that was, and I don't know which one it is. I think the water pump is the inlet,
yeah,
and the outlet comes to the radiator, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's the bigger one from the water pump that's the inlet.
Okay. So I cut the outlet of the heater core, and I put this valve in there, and when you shut the hot water off to the dashboard, your air conditioning will really work
really good.
And then you just take that out. Now, if it's going to be an original car and it's going to be a Trailer Queen car, you don't want to do that because you want to have factory stuff in there. But if this is going to be a street rod or a hot rod or a daily driver or Sunday go to meeting driver, that ball valve will serve you better.
Yeah, because I just noticed that because I took it to one of your recommended shops to do the AC conversion.
Uh-huh.
And they did, because I took it back because I complained it didn't seem like it was that cold. And the blend door wasn't adjusted correctly, so they adjusted that, and they said that should be a lot better. But I don't know if this air conditioning is made for that kind of car, because it doesn't seem like it's that cold, but ever since I replaced that, it seems like it's got like 5 degrees colder. I don't know if that's...
All right. Well, another thing you can do, too, is you can take a pair of needle-nose vice grips, and you can put rubber hose over the jaws of them, and you can just pinch off a line yourself. And you can see how it is. When we come back, I'm going to explain the blend door, because people hear that all the time. Yeah. All the time, it's blend door this, blend door that, and I'm going to explain how that works. But that could also affect what's going on in your car and for your air conditioning. Not to mention that the 70 Chevelle wasn't ever designed for the brand new R134.
It's R12.
And it's an R12 car, and those of us old guys with gray hairs crawling out of our ears, we say, don't convert those cars. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. 602-508-0960.
Hello.
Well, you can get some old tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up, and over a period of time, this $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99. Well, now, Lord, Mr. Ford, I just wish that you could see what your simple horseless carriage has become.
Yep, that was the good old days when Henry changed the world for the better. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to invent the fly-in suit with a backpack or a jet on it or something that allows us to go from here to Tucson in 10 minutes and land right in front of the door of our...
I think I'll stay with my Jeep.
I want to come back 100 years from now and just see what it's like around here. All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Gosh darn it, Bob and Steve over there at Quality Transmission. I weekly get calls and emails from people who say those guys are really top-notch. You see, they're not interested in selling everybody a transmission, an overhaul. They know the odds against you needing one are pretty slim, but they're really, really strong in transmission, so they're able to completely diagnose your problem. And if they can't or it doesn't work for them, they'll tell you. So they're not going to be spending a lot of your money guessing. And if they do guess, you'll know about it in advance. So that's Quality Transmission. Bob is located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University. And no matter where you live, they're worth the drive. And you can tell them Mark sent you. That's Quality Transmission in Tempe. We're going to talk about real quick. Oh, the lines are open, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, just grab the phone and give us a call, and we'll get to you just as quickly as Jeremy tells me in my ear that you're on the line. So we were talking about the 70 Chevelle. You, I think you're like me. I don't like to put the 134 in those.
You will lose, what, about 8 degrees at an idle?
I agree.
And it's almost impossible to have a happy customer because systems were not efficient anyway.
And it seems to me that the 134 is far more, it blows colder on the highway
yes.
than 12, but 12 beats its butt around the city.
Absolutely.
And for me, it's kind of, and then they want you to put a bigger condenser in the older cars to handle the 134, but that 70 Chevelle already has a football field in front of it.
Well, the condenser pairs with the evaporator.
Okay.
And so if you put a big condenser in, but the same evaporator, you're still limited on your heat exchange in the dash.
And you can't possibly add a bigger evaporator underneath the Chevelle dashboard, or many cars you can't put
it. Well, you could, but it'd look very unsightly.
Well, you'd have to put the evaporator on the roof or something like that. Why don't we just put an air... Do you see those pictures of those cars on the internet where the guy literally has a generator bolted to the trunk and he has a roof unit on top of his car?
I haven't seen that, but I can imagine that's probably a Honeywell engineer.
Well, you know, don't say that.
I'm sorry.
The street. You're just going to get me in trouble. The thing of it is those reefer units on the top of air conditioning units on motorhomes.
Very efficient.
13 and 15,000 kW. So when you look at those, it's like having a 3-ton air conditioning unit on a outhouse.
Yeah.
And it's got to be cold. And I'm just wondering about the noise of the generator. But have you seen some of the new Hondas now? They're so quiet. They're like sewing machines.
Yeah, I think there are 80-some decibels or something.
Yeah, just unbelievable. So I told my wife the next time it goes down, I'm going to go ahead and put one of those roof units on her Tahoe and put the generator off the rear bumper, I'm thinking, because it won't be noisy back there. And I'm thinking it's all electric.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'll help you.
Yeah, you get in trouble with me is what's going to happen. And we were also talking about... There's sometimes you can't talk the customer out of it. They just want to go to the 134, and their perception is that it's going to be cheaper or better. But I think right now we're pretty stable. How about you guys?
Actually, we're very stable, and because it's the end of the season, you can get some of the best buys ever on it.
And we, like you, are going to be banking pallet purchases for next year already.
2 minutes.
But the big picture is there used to be a huge discrepancy between 12 and 134, the old and the new. It's getting closer, I think.
Yeah, and Mark, you remember when they brought out 134, and we couldn't even use the same set of gauges.
Yep.
We couldn't use the same vacuum pump. Mm-hmm. And anymore, I think they tell you just to drain it and fill it anymore.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But now, as you well know, they've got a new stuff out there. What is it? 12384YA or something. It's some crazy thing. But 134 is being phased out next.
Yeah, and we don't know what we're going to get at the end of that thing.
No.
So... All righty. I'm thinking, Jeremy, that we're like 38 and three quarters, something like that.
That is correct, 38.50.
Okay. Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure my clock is right. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Do you install nitrogen in people's tires?
Yes, I install about 80% nitrogen in every tire that comes in the shop.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that. But you know what? There's guys out there that actually do nitrogen, but they don't charge for it. And I think that's pretty cool. Because it's a comfort zone. Although it may be kind of a fake comfort zone, it's a comfort zone. And if you do it for free, I don't find fault with that.
No.
But if you're going to charge $70 or $80 a car, I that wads up my panties.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
That's a little much.
All righty. When we come back again, 602-508-0960, give us a call. We'll talk about anything. If you want to talk about your fuel injectors, you want to talk about your diesel, whether you should use semi-synthetic or full synthetic, and what's the oil change interval, what's the difference between the two car. And not too long ago, a lady came into my shop, Kurt, and she told me she has a brand new oil. She's a rep for a brand new oil maker. And the oil has an oxidation point where it burns to a tar of 1,100 degrees.
That's amazing.
That's what I said. We'll be back right after this. Due to technical difficulties, which really means that I forgot to push the right button, we didn't tape the rest of the show, and for that, I'm sorry. I made one mistake this year. This is it.